ശ്രീമദ്ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധിനാമിനി കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദ്ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിധിനാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതിദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാം രാം രാമ ഹരേ ഹരേ സദേ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ ന ഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ ഉഭയോരഭി ദൃഷ്ട്വാന്തം സ്തനയോർത്തത്വദർശിഭിഃ. വി സോ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് യെസ്റ്റർഡേ. ന സദേ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ, കൃഷ്ണൻ സേസ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ദാറ്റ് വാസ് വേഴ്സ് നമ്പർ 16 വാസ് ഇറ്റ്?
യെസ്.
നാസദോ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ നാഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ ഉഭയോരപി ദൃഷ്ടോന്തം സ്തനയോ തത്വദർശിഭി. സോ നാസദോ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ മീൻസ് അസത് 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 ഹാസ് നോ ഭാവം. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ ഫസ്റ്റ് വൺ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് അസത് ഹാസ് നോ ഭാവം. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് അസത് ഈസ് അസത്, ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻറ്റ് ഹാവ് എനി എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ്. ന അഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ, സത് ഹാസ് നോ അഭാവം ഈതർ. സോ ദോസ് ടു ഇൻ ദോസ് ടു ലൈൻസ് ഓഫ് ദിസ് വേർഡ്സ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ന സദോ വിദ്യതേ ഭാവോ. ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദാറ്റ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് നോൺ എക്സിസ്റ്റൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഹാസ് നോ ഭാവം. ന അഭാവോ വിദ്യതേ സദാ, സത് ഹാസ് നെവർ ഹാവ് എനി ടൈം വെൻ സത് ഡസൻറ്റ് എക്സിസ്റ്റ്. സത് ഓൾവേസ് എക്സിസ്റ്റിംഗ്. ഉഭയോരപി ദൃഷ്ടാന്തം സ്തനയോർ തത്വദർശിവി. ദിസ് ഈസ് ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഹാസ് ബിൻ ഫൗണ്ട് ഔട്ട് ബൈ ദി തത്വദർശിവി, ബൈ ദ സേജസ്. ദ ഹാവ് ഫൗണ്ട് ഔട്ട് ദിസ് ട്രൂത്ത്. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ. സോ ഇൻ ദിസ് പർട്ടിക്കുലർ വേർഡ്സ് വാട്ട് വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് തത്വദർശനം മീൻസ് സീയിങ് ഓൾവേസ് ദ സത്, not asat, always seeing the sat, that is satva darshanam. Always being focused on the truth, not allowing the truth to get distracted. So seeing asat means always distracted state of mind, always distracted condition. Sat means always fixed on the truth. So jnanis, Krishna is saying there, jnanis are always focused, they are focused on the truth all the time, they didn't get distracted from that any time. So it was this understanding that was always there in the spiritual culture, that always be focused on the truth. Why is it said like that? Because if you look into the history, you will see that it is this understanding that has permeated in their life also, in daily life. For example, people saw this as the way how to deal with asat, always being fixed on the sat and how to deal with the asat. Even asat also they saw as come from sat, as come from sat. In this way they cultivated this vision throughout the creation, the whole jagat. Jagat is Krishna's creation, isn't it? So seeing the whole creation as Krishna's form, this is how they looked at it. They did not see asat means completely rejected. They saw the sat, and at the same time asat has come from the sat. Asat has come from the sat. So they looked at asat in such a way that sat is the real thing, But at the same time, they looked at asat as though asat has come, because the asat has come from the sat. And therefore, they did not reject anything. They accepted everything. Even when you can see in the olden days, how they looked at the rivers, mountains, and ocean, everything as Krishna's manifestation. Krishna's manifestation. It is Krishna's body, all these things. If you look at it that way in the creation, what will happen is, you will start slowly experiencing the presence of Krishna in everything. You will see the presence of Krishna in everything. This difficulty, this consciousness, keeps our connection with the nature in a very peaceful state. We do not get distracted from that, isn't it? That once you have a relationship with the world, with the creation, in a very peaceful way, that means you are not exploiting the nature. The exploitation nature will not happen to us. We will become in peace with the nature. And therefore they saw everything in creation as Krishna's expansions. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also you will see exactly the same thing. What happens? That na sado vidyate bhavo. Asat has no reality. It is only a temporary thing. Na bhavo vidyate sa. Once you have understood this principle, then you cannot reject anything. You can see things as they are. That is the important thing. Na sado vidyate bhavo. What is asat? It has no bhavam. It is only temporary thing. Na bhavo vidyate sada. What is sat? It is always, it cannot become without any existence. It always exists. So, because of this, they looked at all the sages, particularly the rishis, they looked at all the rivers in that way. They looked at all the, that is why all the rivers have become holy. All the mountains have become holy. And everything in the creation is holy for them. They did not reject anything. And if you look at it that way with the nature, you will not destroy them. You will look at them in a very sensible way. People, before, when they bathe in the Ganga river, they don't even gargle and split into the water. That was the respect for the river they had. And it's the same thing with everything in the creation, the mountains. All the mountains are holy. In some way or the other, they have become worshipable for the... Why? Because this understanding was very clear in their mind. Na sado vidyate bhavo. Na bhavo vidyate sada. That... Na sado vidyadeva. Sado means, asata means that it is only a temporary existence. It has never permanent existence. And na bhavo vidyade sada. For sat has always got bhavam. It's no time that it doesn't exist. So, Krishna says here that Arjuna, if you understand this principle, then your attitude and outlook towards life also will change. So, the consciousness, their attention is always fixed on the soul. Attention is always fixed on the soul. When I say fixed on the soul, means it's Krishna's. It's always fixed in Krishna, either as Bhagavan or a Paramatma or Brahma. Whichever way, it doesn't matter. But attention is fixed on the truth. The truth is Krishna. So as long as it is fixed on that, this will not happen. Any distraction won't happen. They will see the truth as they are. So, as I was mentioning yesterday, that any emotions when develops inside, if that is also directed towards the truth, which is inside, you won't get affected by that, isn't it? Just like if you release any emotions outwardly, then it disturbs another person in some way. If it is suppressed inside, then it will create conflict also, isn't it? Once you suppress some emotions inside, it creates conflict. So what all the Mahatmas and Jnanis have done throughout history, they have shifted their attention. As long as there is some emotions develop and which disturbs their mind, they turned their attention towards the soul. In this way, they sacrificed everything to the soul. Soul can absorb anything. Knowing very well that the soul is the origin of everything inside. Yeah. So once you turned it towards the source, each and every bit of energy is saved. You don't lose any energy. Energy is lost once you release it externally towards the other living entities, or you control the energy and suppress it inside. In both ways, you suffer. But once you understand that the source is the soul, everything is coming from the soul, and if you shift your attention from outside, from everything, towards the soul, then this powerful thing, these emotions, will not cause any excitement inside, and the mind will remain peaceful. This is called in the Shastram as Hridaya Vidya. Hridaya Vidya means everything directing towards the heart, towards the soul inside. Sat Vidya also they call it. And those who knows this, they are called Tattvadarshis. Those who have seen the truth. Tattvadarshis. In Ramayanam, this is very nicely explained. We read through the story of Ramayanam, but Valmiki Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, they didn't write just stories for us. If story was only an issue, then we did not have waited so long. But why Ramayanam stayed so long? If you look into Ramayanam, you will see there that Sugriva's brother, Bali and Sugriva. Bali is actually considered to be the mind. Bali is considered to be the mind. Sugriva is the jiva. Sugriva is the jiva, conditioned soul. So condition, it's a fight between the mind and the conditioned soul. That is what this Bali Sugriva fight is all about. What they want to tell us. Now, the only way jiva can escape from the mind is by taking association of the in satsangam, in association with the devotees. And that is what is indicated by Hrishyamukhajalam, the place where he was taking shelter. Hrishyamukhajalam, the word itself, if you look at it, you can see Hrishi's place where you don't get moved, your mind doesn't move. Ajalam. That is the thing. Hrishi is where, in whose presence your mind doesn't move. In other words, what Sugriva was having in Hrishyamukhajalam, where he took shelter from Bali, was actually the association of satsangam. Whose association? Hanuman's association. Hanuman was staying there in Hrishyamukhajalam. Sugriva went there and took shelter of Hanuman. Isn't it? And if you have to kill this thing called mind, which is disturbing all the time, mind has to be, at some point, has to be killed. And that is, but you can't see the mind. That is what that story is saying. Ramchandra was hiding behind and shooting the arrow at Bali. So this story is indicating to us that jiva has to escape from the mind. Mind is very powerful. So in order to escape from the mind, jiva has to take shelter of satsangam. To take shelter of satsangam. From satsangam, it can escape from the influence of mind. Mind means chittavritti, isn't it? Continuous chittavritti is the mind. So Bali is only an indication of this chittavritti, strong chittavritti that's coming through. And our Sugriva, who is considered to be the jiva, as and when he took shelter in Hrishyamukhajalam, in the association of Anjaneya Swami or Hanuman, he was free from trouble. As soon as you leave satsangam, you're back into trouble again. Just like we all experience, isn't it? Once you leave satsangam, you go outside into the world and start dealing with the world, then all the emotion starts building up. It disturbs the mind, and mind becomes turbulent in that way. So, the Tattvadarshis, they have understood this technique, and if you fight with the mind, you cannot win. You will never win fighting the mind, because you don't know where it has come from. And it doesn't have any form, isn't it? No form for the mind. Mind is a continuous flow of thoughts inside. So, only in satsangam, the mind will stay away from you. Only in satsangam, the mind will stay away from you. Just like Bali stayed away from Hrishyamukhajalam. Otherwise, Bali will attack Sugriva all the time. So, once you continue satsangam, in due course of time, what will happen is, due to the power of satsangam, our association will become strong and realization of Krishna will come strongly inside. And once the Krishna realization becomes stronger inside, you won't be disturbed by the mind anymore. Mind will become weaker. So, that is why that in the story, Ramachandra hides behind and kills the mind. Because mind you can't see, you have to hide behind. and watch the situation and then kill him. In other words, when you are in not alert state, ajagrata, it's called ajagrata. When you are not in alert state, what will happen? All the emotions will develop inside. Vigaram will come up inside. And once they start coming up, immediately there should be jagrata, alertness. And what should happen? That immediately you will be able to reject these emotions, what is developing inside. Mind is asat. Remember that. Mind is asat. The sat is only the soul, nothing else. Soul is the sat. Everything else is the asat. Asat has to be ignored. Asat has to be ignored. If you give attention to the asat, it will become powerful. If you give attention to the asat, it will become powerful. So what the great Mahatmas have done is that their attention, they focused on the sat all the time. Their attention was always focused on the sat. In one instance, what happened was that in an ashram, a Mahatma was living in an ashram. And there were many others who also were taking the association from this Mahatma. So one of the persons who were present there, who lived in that ashram, sometimes even when you are in the ashram, bad thoughts can develop inside. It's not that you are protected there. People think that, oh, I am within the walls, four walls of the temple or anything, I am covered. No, thoughts can any time come against someone. Some ill feeling can develop inside. So when such thoughts develop, and if it gets stronger inside, then you find it very conflicting inside, isn't it? You feel very troublesome. So one instance what happened was, there was an inmate in that ashram who was actually a mason, you know, who used to do the construction work. So he explained this in his own words one time. He says that in one instance he had some bad thoughts developing inside while staying in the ashram, because spiritual life is like walking on the razor edge. When the mind will get distracted and when you will fall from the truth, you never know. So that's why it is said that Uttishtada Jagrada. Upanishads will always say this, Jagrada, Jagrada, Tasmal Jagrada, Jagrada. They keep on warning us all the time. Why? The mind at some point can drive you mad. It will take you away from the truth. Huh? So, Uttishtada Jagrada, Prapya Avaran Nibhodada. Till you reach the goal, don't lose this alertness. Till you reach the Prapya Avaran Nibhodada. That till you reach that point, Nibhodada, the consciousness should be very, very strong. Then, Uttishtada Jagrada Prapya Avaran Nibhodada. Then, Durgam Badastad Kavayo Vadandi. The path is Churasya Dara Nishidam Duratyaya. It is like walking on a sharp-edged sword. Churasya Dara Nishidam Duratyaya. That when you walk on a sharp-edged sword, how dangerous it is. Similarly, this thing called mind can push you out any time. And Churasya Dara Nishidam Duratyaya. Durgam Badastad Kavayo Vadandi. The realized souls tells us that it is such a powerful thing, this thing called mind, and one has to be always jagrada, jagrada, alert, alert. So, in our, this mason who was in the ashram, some bad thoughts came to his mind, which he was trying to control, just like in the Bhagavadam you notice, Ajamila. Ajamila was a good person. There was nothing wrong with him. He had a good training, and he has understood the importance of Krishna consciousness, self-realization. But due to some association, some prarabdham inside, he fell trapped to that situation in the forest. And because of that, he tried very hard to control his mind, but he fell. This is how we are also subject to the same thing. Any moment we can fall from our spiritual understanding. So similar thing happened to this man also. He was saying that I am unable to control my mind. He was standing there and all these bad thoughts were coming through. It was then that the head, the sannyasi of that mutt came walking through that. He was a strong person. As soon as he saw this person, just by looking at him, he understood that there is some bad thoughts going through his mind. Something is not right. Jnanis have got this capacity to see through you. Why? Because their conscience is very clear inside. So because it's so clear, there is no chitavritti inside, whatever thoughts are happening in you, it will simply reflect inside to them. That's why they see through your heart, see what's going on inside you. And you don't have to even tell them. They will know whether your consciousness is good or bad. They can say that. So what did he do? It was very hot sun, what was at that time. Sun was really, really hot. He stood there and spoke to this person for about half an hour in that hot sun. And this mason, he was complaining that his feet was getting very hot, and the heat from the sun on the top and from the bottom as well, from the feet. But for half an hour, he wouldn't leave him, this sannyasi. Kept on talking about various other things till his inside was cleaned up. Afterwards, he realized it and he says that, "I did not know that somebody from outside could clean up inside so well." He recognized that. This is the power of jnanis. Jnanis can do that. They can, if you get in their association properly, that they know what is going on inside, and in order to help you, they will do things like this. At their own initiative, they will take it, and out of their compassion for the conditioned souls, they will do things like this. And for half an hour, due to that satsangam, he says, "My mind was clear." After that, he never attacked by anything. So, Durgam Padastad Kavayo Vadandi, Churasya Dara Nishidam Durateya, Kathopanishad says like this, that in every moment we have to be extremely alert not to allow to fall into this maya, into this illusion. So, if you give attention to the asat, asat will become powerful. Similarly, what happens when tension develops inside? The same thing. If you give them a astitvam, astitvam means that if you give them a genuine existence within yourself, then what will happen is it will grow. But if you don't allow that to grow, in other words, don't give them, separating them out as asat, in that case, it knows that it has no existence, it will immediately disappear also. This is the secret. The Shraddha or attention is always on the Sat. So all the great devotees, what they have done? They have caught hold of Krishna, which is Sat. Everything else is Asat, isn't it? So they caught hold of Sat and they offered their whatever Asat they had, they offered it to Krishna. Sat they held on, and whatever Asat came to them, and they offered that to Krishna. That if you fight with Asat, you won't win. Because it's like fighting with the shadow. If you fight with a shadow, what will happen? You will never win, isn't it? The same thing. Asat is like that. Asat by nature, that if you fight with Asat, you won't win. Then, all the Tattvadarshis, what they have done, they have took shelter, completely held on to the Sat, and Asat, they handled it in this way. They offered everything to Krishna. So that is what a devotee also does, isn't it? Jnanis does the same thing. The devotee also does the same thing. Attention was always on the Sat. So, so this one verse, what we discussed whole yesterday, is an important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. It is from this verse onwards what you will see. So many other things what's been spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is centered around this very principle of Nasade Vidyade Bhavo Na Bhavo Vidyade Sada Ubayora Vidrashtuandam Stanayor Tatvadarshivi. As I mentioned earlier, that the what is Karana Shariram? Prabhu was asking yesterday, what is Karana Shariram? Karana Shariram is nothing but avidya. Avidya is Karana Shariram. When you go into the Sushupti state, when we are referring to Shariram like this, don't think of Sushma Shariram and Karana Shariram like Stula Shariram. Stula Shariram is perceivable through the senses. Sushmam and Karanam, you can't perceive it through senses. Isn't it? You can't perceive it through senses. It exists, and Vedantis and Jnanis have given this definition for us to understand that the process in which how things work, they explain to us. Now, whether it is a Jnani, whether it is a Bhakta, or whether it's a Karma Yogi, Ashtanga Yogi, it doesn't matter. One day, when we realize the truth, all these things will get automatically clarified. Vedantis explains this so that we get the clarity at an early date. Once you have a clarity, you know what is going on inside us, isn't it? So, Sthula Shariram is in Jagrat. Sushma Shariram is in the Swapnam state, dream state. And Karana Shariram, which is called Avidya. It is nothing but Avidya. What keeps us in the Karana Shariram is Avidya, isn't it? Avidya means that ignorance that is accompanying us all the time. Avidyamayam. It is called Avidyamayam. So when Avidya, why is it called Avidya? Because in that state, in deep sleep, in Sushupti state, you don't realize it, the truth, nor you have any connection with the external world, isn't it? Although you have really freed yourself from the grip of the material body, the mind, the material elements and the tanmatras, shabda sparsha rupa rasa gandham, the sense objects, you are freed from all that. Even from false ego you are freed. But you have not realized the truth in that state. So what is stopping there? That is avidya. In not realizing the truth in sushupti is caused by avidya. So avidya has to be got rid of. And that is why all these three states, three bodies are referred to, sthula shariram, sushma shariram and karana shariram. Karana shariram is nothing but avidya. Avidyatmakam it is called. Avidyamayam. So, after saying this, nasade vidyade bhavo, we have seen that asat is what? Asat is mind, body, senses, pranan, intelligence, all these things in there. Mind, intelligence and the senses, they all go and dissolve at some point, isn't it? Body gets dissolved in the Swapnam state. In senses and intelligence gets dissolved before you enter into the Sushupti state. So, all these things are called Jadam. Jadam means it has no genuine, that's all Asat in other words. Jadam is Asat. Asat. So, the Jnanis realize the only thing that is giving that is giving astitvam. Astitvam means it gives some reality to all these things, like the body, mind, senses and everything, is the, what is it? The only thing what is giving existence, some reality is is this soul inside, isn't it? To the presence of soul inside, all this gets some existence. One who has seen very clearly this distinction between the Sat and Asat, they have got what is known as Paramartha Drishti, Paramarthiyam. That's the absolute vision, proper vision in them. Then, Drishti Jnanamayam Gatva Pashyet Brahmamayam Jagat. If our vision is in knowledge, with knowledge, if our vision is developed, then Pashyet Brahmamayam Jagat. You can't see anything else in this creation which is separated from Krishna. Krishna's presence in everything will be seen at that point, provided our vision has become knowledge, in knowledge. So, it is truthful to say that once our vision becomes Jnanamayam, Jnanamayam means in knowledge, then Jadapadartham, what we see today as dead matter, it won't have existence in that form. The existence changes from there. You will only see the living force, Krishna's presence in them. Nothing else you'll be able to see at that point. In the jnana process, because that's where they get involved in this a lot. In the jnana process, there is a thing called Padartha Bhavana. Padartha Bhavana means it is one of their obstacles in spiritual progress. When they see material objects, they're seeing it as simply as, they don't want to see that as matter. We see everything as matter, isn't it? And we refer to every material object as matter. Matter is dead thing. So dead matter, jadam, it is referred to. But yanis, in their early stages of progressive stages in self-realization, they know this padartha bhavana is a trouble process for them. They want to come out of that and start to develop their vision of Brahman, as Brahman in the jnanamayam, in their objective also. So what will happen is, if you start seeing everything in the material world as real, we will start developing relationship with that, with the matter, in some form or the other. Because that is from there ragadvesham begins. Krishna will speak about ragadvesham in the second chapter later. The problem what we encounter by dealing with material objects and matter is that at a subtle level we develop that they are truth, and we will forget that they are asat. We forget that they are asat. Rather, what we will think is they are all truth, and we will start building up a relationship with that. Once you build up relationship with asat, inside ragam and dvesham will naturally build up. It will be difficult to avoid that. So therefore, jnanis and mahatmas are always watchful that matter, to what level they want to associate with the matter, how far they have to take it seriously. Sometimes when that ignorance becomes very deep in us, when that ignorance on matter becomes very deep in us, what we will do, we will think the whole life is centered around matter. This is what happens to us, all of us, that once we start associating with matter very intensely, we will start realizing that matter is life. We will misunderstand in that way, and then the association with matter gets stronger. And anything, because matter is always changing, sat is never changes, unchanging, truth never changes, it's unchanging. And Shruti talks about the unchanging truth, not about matter. Matter has no value there. But if we associate on our own, not knowing it is asat, and accept it as sat, we will start slowly accepting that as sat. And that is when we become materialistic. That's when we become materialistic. This can happen to anyone, anywhere. When we give too much importance to the matter, more than what it deserves, knowing fully well not to leave it in its own place, but get closely connected with matter, that materialistic consciousness will build up inside. And then what is the result? We will not see the difference between sat and asat. And that is why Krishna has warned in this verse straight away. First warning to Arjuna, nasado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada. That asat has no bhavam. Remember that, Arjuna. Asat has no bhavam. And sat has, sat you cannot make it into abhavam, without bhavam. Sat will always have bhavam. Asat will never have any bhavam. So, sat will never have abhavam. Abhavam means this non-existence nature. Sat will always be existing. If this one point is clearly accepted inside, then in our dealings with this world also, we will be much more careful about it. What normally happens is we take everything as truth, isn't it? When we deal with the world also, we think everything is real in this world. Everything is not real. Krishna wants us to segregate straight away. So he points out this to Arjuna, nasado vidyate bhavo, asat has no bhavam, Krishna says to Arjuna. And sat has no abhavam, the other opposite also. Sat will always exist. Sat you cannot take it away from any time. Sat's endurance, sat live forever. Sat is the permanent thing. Asat has no bhavam, asat will not exist all the time. So why waste your time on asat? That's the question Krishna is asking. So, but at the same time, it is mixed up now in our inside. Asat and sat, everything is mixed up. So mahatmas and the jnanis, what they have done, that they fix their attention on sat always. Attention is always on the sat. And asat they handled in such a way that to escape from the asat, they offered all the asat to Krishna. Now you take care of this. It is your creation. You have come in this way, in front of us, asat, in the asat form. But I would not like to associate with asat too much because it takes my attention away from you. But I will keep my attention on you, on Krishna. And at the same time, whatever Krishna has given to us, we will offer that to Krishna. So that way you can escape from asat. This is the process of bhakti and this is the process of jnanam as well. There is no difference there. All the great devotees, all the great jnanis, they take this principle very seriously. Attention is always on the Sat or on Krishna, in other words. Asat is all offered to Krishna. Everything what we have, we offer it to Krishna. It is Krishna's property. That's why Ishavasyavidam Sarvam. Everything is Krishna's. If that consciousness, if we live, we will not get disturbed over Asat. If we don't do that, Asat will pull us down. Because Asat, as I mentioned, it is Asat. It is like a shadow. And if you try to fight with the shadow, you won't win. The only thing you can do is knowing very well what it is and allow it to carry on with its way, but not get affected by that. For which, you have to keep your attention based on the Sat. Based on the Sat. So that is the importance of that verse. Nasade vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada. Ubayora vidrashtvandam sanayor tatudarshibi. Now, as I mentioned that, as soon as you start thinking, everything is real in this world. What is materialistic means? This is what it means. When we talk about people, though, he is very materialistic sometimes, we say, isn't it? Some people are. And why? Because this ignorance is very deep inside. That they have accepted something which is not real or which is temporary as real. Temporary things are not real. Temporary things has got, it is changing all the time, isn't it? So Krishna clarifies clearly that is Asat. And once we develop a relationship with Asat, what will happen? Raga Dvesham will build up. If you develop a relationship with Sat, Raga Dvesham will never develop inside. Attachment and aversion will not develop in relationship with Krishna. In relationship with matter, attachment and aversion will definitely build up. Then, in order to do that, the contact with matter, starts through communication, isn't it? Some communication or some kind of relationship builds up with matter inside. And with the result of that is that it will become stronger inside. The kind of relationship will get stronger inside. But if you know the matter is not real and it has no permanent existence, not a truth, the strong development of connection or attachment will not develop inside. So therefore, jnanis distinguish like this. Everything in the jagat, everything in the whole creation, they classified into these two. What is this? Namam and Rupam. Name and form. They told us, neither of this Namam, name or the form what you are saying is truth. Neither of them are truth. That is something temporary for the jagat, for the matter. Nothing more than that. So, with that understanding, where the other hand, everything they saw that the Chaitanyam or living force or Krishna is present in everything. It is Krishna's presence they wanted to see. So, the example we are talking about, there is a pot, Ghadagasham, Mathagasham, they call it, isn't it? And this is in the 12th canto of Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, if you look. How Parikshit was experiencing that realization. Ghadagasham and Mathagasham. Ghadagasham is the big sky. Mathagasham is the sky inside the pot. When the pot is broken, there is only one sky. Before that you call as two skies, isn't it? So, Ghadagasham becomes Mathagasham when the pot is broken. So, they saw that between the Sat and Asat also this relationship. That when this pot breaks, this body breaks away, the soul inside also, its relationship with Krishna is permanent then, isn't it? At the moment we are feeling that separation so strongly, we are feeling the separation in the creation also between the jagat or between the asat and sat strongly because of this material body in us. Material body is creating this confusion between sat. Strictly speaking, there is only sat. This also you have to know. There is only Sat. Everything is Krishna at the end. But due to this conditioned state in us, we are perceiving that matter, spirit separately. Matter is a temporary transformation of the spirit. Temporary transformation. In its more gross form, we see it as the matter, purely as matter. Otherwise, there is no matter as such. It's only spirit. So, Krishna is saying here, that once you break the pot, the sky becomes one. There's only one sky, isn't it? And you cannot do anything about that. You can't then separate it out. Say that this is separate. This was the sky from the pot. This is the sky from outside. That doesn't exist. So Krishna says there, this Chaitanyam, or the force inside, which Krishna referred to as the soul, is present in everything. In everything he is present. And you under no time, it gets thrown away from there. Its presence is always there in everything. The presence of the soul. But in our state, present state, when we are conditioned, we won't see it like that. So, understand, Krishna says to Arjuna, the soul which is a sat, it has existence. It has existence. And that is what he is confirming the next verse. So, Verse 17. Yeah. So, I'll just read that verse. Avinashidu tad vidhim.
Yena sarvam idam tatam.
Vinasham avyasyasya.
Nakaschilkartumarhati.
Once again. Avinashidu tad vidhim.
Yena sarvam idam tatam.
Vinasham avyasyasya. Nakaschil kartumarhati. I'll read the translation. Arjuna, know that which pervades the entire body is indestructible. Entire body is indestructible. No one is able to destroy the imperishable soul. No one is able to destroy the imperishable soul. Now, this particular verse, you can also understood in a different way. Here, it is referring to the body. And it is the same thing, this thing what is pervading the whole creation, which is the soul, is indestructible. It has no destruction. But because it's spoken here in relationship with the body, avinashita tadviddi yena sarvam idam tadam vinasham avyasyasya na kaschal kartum arhati. No one is able to destroy the imperishable soul. Practically you can see that the presence of the soul is there everywhere, isn't it? In every living entity, soul is present. Soul is not only present in my body, soul is present in every living entity. And that soul which is present in everyone is indestructible. Krishna says, Avinashidu tadviddhi. Know, Arjuna, that soul is indestructible. In other words, it is again a continuation of the last words. Na bhavo vidyade sada. Soul's bhavam is always there. No one will be able to touch the presence of the soul. Yenam idam sarvam idam. That is what it is. That at no point you will discuss anything leaving your base. What is the base? The soul. You cannot discuss anything without holding on to the soul strongly. Do you know what I'm saying? That the soul is our anchor. That's where we are anchored all the time, with the soul. And that's what Krishna is saying here. Yena sarvam idam sarvam idam. Whatever you are seeing in this, it's all that. That's all only. Yena sarvam idam sarvam. And in our experience, you can say, there are two things all the time. There is always, till the self-realization happens, there is two things. What is that? Aham idam. Me, soul, and the jagat, the world. It exists separately. Then sata, asata. Sat exists, asat exists. Then experience, anubhavam, and pradhini. My soul's experience and the soul's senses perception. Separately. Then drukka drishyam. I am seeing and the objects what I am seeing. And the soul inside and the jagat, the creation outside. So these two things are always existing for the moment, for us. For the moment, it exists for us in two. Everything exists in that two states. One as life and the other one as dead matter. So Krishna says here that in the experience you have these two things always existing. Avinashita tadvidhi ena sarvam idam tadam. Ena sarvam idam tadam. That is the only one thing that actually existing. What is that soul? And it is present everywhere. In everything it is present there. So ena idam sarvam. So our idam sarvam tadam. Idam sarvam tadam. With idam is referring to the jagat, the creation. Tadam, but this is present in everything. Which one? The soul. Which is completely, it's spread over everywhere. Krishna says, in the whole creation, the soul is spread in different forms, in different bodies, in different species, in different bodies, and in the male form, in the female form. What is present actually is only the soul. It is a soul that is present in everything. That is the point Krishna is stressing out there. just like the example is like this, that our attention, say we are coming over here in the morning, in the night, suppose you dream what happened during the day. I dreamt about driving down to Barnet, coming through Normandy Avenue, coming to this house, seeing few people. All these things in the dream, it can happen, isn't it? How do I experience that? Because I am there. If I am there, all this vision has no meaning, isn't it? Only due to my presence inside, that the soul inside, this world is also existing. This, you must understand this. Normally, in the Shastram it is referred to as Drishti Srishti Vadam. In Bhagavadam, there is a scholar called Madhavananda Tirtha. He has written a commentary on the Bhagavadam Ekadasha Skandam. He explains there, the Drishti Srishti Vadam is this. There is two things. Srishti Drishti Vadam and Drishti Srishti Vadam. There are two different things. Srishti Drishti Vadam is what you see in this world, you take it as the reality. Drishti Srishti Vadam is what I see is reality. In other words, it's only because of my presence that I have the ability to see things, because of the presence of the soul. Therefore, all these things exist. Things exist because I am able to see them due to the presence of the soul inside. Or in other words, depending on my drishti, I see the srishti. I see the srishti depending on my drishti. You know what drishti means, isn't it? Drishti means your vision. According to my vision, I see the creation. Now, srishti drishti vadam is the other way. You are seeing the srishti and that is your drishti. The opposite way. Yeah. Normally, people who don't have spiritual understanding, they are in the srishti drishti vadam. Whatever they see, that's the reality for them. Yeah. But for a person who has spiritual understanding, for him what drishti is more important. What he sees that I'm seeing it because of my presence, I'm perceiving that. Yeah. That is drishti srishti vadam. In the Bhagavadam, in two instances you will notice this, that when Krishna was present in the playing with the cowherd boys, that the everybody saw Krishna different. Everybody saw Krishna different. Itam sadam brahma sukha anubhutya. Sudeva Goswami says there, dasyam gadanam paradeiva dena, maya shridanam naradharagena, sagam vijakru kratapunya punja. There is a verse in the Bhagavadam that itam sadam brahma sukha anubhutya. In Krishna's presence, some of the people were experiencing brahma sukham. Brahma sukham means the spiritual happiness due to association with Krishna. Some people are experiencing spiritual happiness. Who had that vision in as seen Krishna as the truth? They were experiencing that Brahma Sukham. Dasyam Gadanam Paradeva Dena. Some people saw Krishna as a friend and as they as their servant of Krishna's servant, and in that way they associated with Krishna. Some cowherd boys and cowherd men, they associate with Krishna in that way. Tasim gadanam para devadenam maya shridanam naradaragenam. Those who were under illusion in maya, they thought Krishna is another boy like us, or another human body, like in human body Krishna has come here. Maya shridanam naradaragena sagam vijakhru kritapunya punjaha. Look at the good fortune of that cowherd boys who were able to associate with Krishna. What good sukritam they have performed in their previous lives. They were able to associate with the absolute truth in this way. Sudeva Goswami says this in the Bhagavatam. So what we are to see is that the absolute truth has come to this world. Krishna has come to this world. But even here, when he was present here, everyone saw the truth in different ways. Isn't it? Everybody saw the truth in a different way. Everyone did not recognize Krishna as the supreme truth or absolute truth. They didn't see Krishna like that. Some people see as the absolute truth. Only few saw that Brahma Sukham they experienced by in Krishna's presence, association. So, according to our vision, our perception will change in this world. Our perception will also change. So Krishna says here, avinashidu tad viddi yena sarvam idam tatam. If you are fixed in this platform, that it is the soul that is permeating everything in the creation. And due to the presence of the soul only, all other things are existing. Just like, if my vision is there, or if I have the drishti in me, then srishti is there for me. Similarly, yena sarvam idam tadam, because the soul is present in all these things, you are feeling the existence of all these things in the creation. Yena avinashi, and that thing soul is avinashi, it has no death. It's always, because there is sadbhavam for the, and avinashi, which is avinashi, the soul, is all what you are seeing in the creation is existing. Because of its presence. Because of the soul's presence, our body exists. Isn't it? Mind exists. Intelligence exists. Senses exist. All this interaction with the world happens. If the soul withdraws from this body, what happens? None of this exists. Isn't it? None of this exists. Similarly, Krishna says, avinashitu tadviddi yena sarvam idam tadam. Because he is present in everything, everywhere, his presence is there, who's the soul, his presence is there, we feel everything is existing, outwardly, externally, also. So, and he says in the end of that vinasham avyayasyasya na kaschal kartum arhati. And that thing, what is existing and gives existence to everything else, it cannot be destroyed. This is the important point. The existence of something in this creation, if we are feeling some truth in some object, in a material object or anything, although it is temporary, we are feeling some reality in that, isn't it? That is why we are relating with that all the time. That feeling of reality is coming because of his presence of the soul. That's what the important thing. It's a very important verse. Avinashidu tadvidhi. It's a very subtle thing also. Unless you think in that direction, you won't get a feel for it. What Krishna is saying. Avinashidu tadvidhi yena sarvamidam tadam. All that you are seeing, Arjuna, it's only existing because he is there behind it. Isn't it? If he is not there, these things don't exist. So, again he is stressing that the satbhavam is for that. Asadbhavam is for the matter, because asadbhavam depends on the sadbhavam. Sadbhavam is not dependent on the asadbhavam. Asadbhavam is dependent on the sadbhavam. So temporarily we are feeling truthfulness or the astitvam, that's the word, actual word. Astitvam means the existence of this world. We are feeling temporarily existence, although, and we also feel it is permanent even. To such an extent we feel the existence as reality. Isn't it? So this feeling of reality for this world, creation, Krishna says, who gives it? It is the Sat Avinashidu Tadvidhi. Because avinashiti tadvidhi yena sarvam idam tatam. All that what you are experiencing in this world, perceiving in this world, it's only because of that soul which is avinashi, which cannot be destroyed. It cannot be destroyed. That's what he says in the next two lines. Vinasham avyasyasya. Vinasham avyasyasya. Na kaschil kartum arhati. Arjuna, even if you want to destroy these objects, because he is present inside, he cannot be destroyed under any circumstances. If you try to destroy something here, something else will come up somewhere else, in some other form. So matter, you may try to destroy it, but you may destroy it, but so long as he is behind it, who? Avinashidu tadvidhi, yena sarvamidam tadam. He is present there, matter will continue to exist. Matter will not be able to take it away from there. So that is an important statement from Krishna. That, so as I mentioned before, that when you are in your dream seeing so many things, it's only because you are there. If you are not there, all that thing what you are seeing has no value. They also don't exist. So aham shabdam, aham and idam, that's what he's talking about. This idam is dependent on aham, isn't it? When aham is there, idam is there. And ida shabda vachyam, that aham shabdam, and this idam shabdam, that is this aham idam, is the two words they use normally. Aham, idam. Idam is existing before aham is there. Aham is present in all idam. Aham is present in all idam. Therefore, I am able to identify that. It is like this, that sarvam idam tadam. In the Shastram, the example is given, otaprotam they call it. These are words, I don't know what the English, how to put it. Otaprotam means, you know, if you take a cloth, piece of cloth, in this piece of cloth, how is the cloth made? If you have seen how they make the cloth, cloth has got thread going like this, and thread going like this, isn't it? Crosswise like this, all over the thread. This is called otam, and this is called protam. Otaprotam, it says. So, if you bring it together, otam and protam, or in other words, the threads in this direction, that direction, eventually it became a dhoti, or a cloth, isn't it? It becomes a cloth. So, it is like this that the creation is. Krishna is saying, otaprotam. It is not like, for example, it's not like, say for example, in this room it's full of smoke. And smoke goes away, room stays separately. Now, in a cloth, if you take the threads away, there is no cloth, isn't it? There is no cloth once you take the threads away. So Krishna says here that that aham is present in this whole jagat, in the creation in that way, just like a thread, in all directions. My presence is there. Krishna's presence is there in everything, like otaprotam, like a dhoti, or which is like a cloth which has been worn with thread. If I take out this thread away, the cloth doesn't exist. Similarly, if you take the soul away from this creation, the creation doesn't exist. Yeah. So, Vedantam, but when we give this example, don't hold on to example all the time. Eh? Example is only to get you closer to the understanding of the truth. Eh? We always make the mistake. So we start thinking, if the cloth has got thread like this, there is a thread in the world. If you start asking that question, I have no answer. You can't answer. That they will warn you always this point. That examples are only to give you some clarity, to help you to get that clarity. That if you ask me, where is the soul going this direction, soul going in this direction, there is no answer to that. That's all the problem. But soul is what Krishna is saying, because it's a subtle science, the presence of the soul in everything. Krishna has to give some examples to explain that. In the Bhagavatam, this example comes, all the problem. It's spoken about that. But in the Bhagavad Gita, it is not mentioned, but it's the same thing what Krishna is saying here. What is in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Then, suppose I say that I want a dhoti without thread in that. I will have to walk without clothes then, isn't it? That's what it will happen. So the same thing Krishna says here, that there is no dhoti without, there is no dhoti without thread in that. Similarly, if you take in the creation, that soul from outside, the, inside the creation, then this world doesn't exist. This world is actually made of the soul, not matter. But soul in some form appears to us in different ways, isn't it? In different forms of matter. So in our conditioned state, when we are not self-realized and we are not seeing the soul, we are completely on a materially consciousness, materialistic consciousness and bodily identity, we have this differentiation as matter, asat, sat, and asat is also coming from sat. Sat is also coming from sat. Because sat is real existence. Asat is only temporary. Asat is temporary. Sat is unchanging. It stays forever. Asat is always changing. That's the difference. It's only changing. But it has also an origin. It has come from something, it stays for some time, it goes back to the same thing. That is asat. Yeah, asat is not something that you can, it has no bhavam, in other words. That's what Krishna said, isn't it? Na sado vidyate bhava. It has no bhavam. Bhava means it has no permanent existence in any way. It has an existence, but it has no permanent existence. It can always get change its form, it can change its name. So many things can happen in the process of these changes, what it goes through. But it has come from sat. Sat is the background of everything. That's the point Krishna was making here. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, that this sat, what is permeating all over, is Krishna. Is permeating all over is Krishna. So what happened was, when Parikshit Maharaj came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Subhadeva Goswami started presenting Krishna as the whole creation. That's how he starts second canto. If you look at it, you will see there that in the second canto, that the whole creation is Krishna's body. You remember that? In the second canto, if you look, the first thing Subhadeva Goswami, when he started talking to Parikshit, what did he say to Parikshit first? He didn't talk about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the form what he Krishna has appeared, but rather first thing he gave this understanding to Parikshit, my dear king, this whole creation is nothing but Krishna. Whole creation is nothing but Krishna. And Krishna has expanded in this form, and Krishna is the Sat. That's how he convinced Parikshit. Krishna is the Sat. And from Krishna, there the word used is Narayana. But from Narayana came all this, 14 planetary systems and all the mountains, rivers, the oceans, the forests, the trees, the plants. This is all Krishna's gross body, he says there. Isn't it? If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see this. This is all Krishna's gross body, he says. So, that there, he also says there, Bimbam etat characharam. That Bimbam etat characharam. That all this moving and non-moving, this is all Krishna's form, he says to him. Then, we have Krishna's form in the temple, isn't it? That is for our worship. That is for our worship. But it is much more powerfully, but because we can't always look at the creation and get that understanding in us, we have to worship the form in the temple. In the temple we worship that form in order to, because mind cannot comprehend this. This whole creation, and all the time be alert in that way. That every time if I see an ocean, or if I see a mountain, if I have to recognize that this is Krishna, that's a bit difficult in the beginning. So therefore, upasana purposes, Krishna has allowed us to worship in the form of deity in the temple. But that does not mean that all this what exists is not Krishna. Krishna is only in the temple. That illusion also has to go from the head. Everything that is in the creation is nothing but Krishna. But for due to compassion to us, that limit, because of our limitations, Krishna has allowed us to worship in that form in the temple. But eventually it should lead to this understanding that there is nothing else exists without Krishna in this creation also. every inch in this creation, that what is permeating everywhere, one can see that when realization happens, you will not see anything else. One who has no realization, they can't see anything. That is also a fact. One who has no realization, he cannot see anything. Suppose one who does not know anything about gold, if you give him bangles, anklets, chain, and ring, and everything, he will only see those things. And then he will ask you, where is gold in that? Because he is seeing the forms, isn't it? He is seeing the forms, and he is seeing the names as well, what he has given to it. But those who have knowledge of the gold, he will see the gold in that, rather than the names and the forms attached to that. So, yena sarvam idam tatam, that when our realization becomes complete, when our spiritual realization becomes complete, we will start experiencing that this presence of Krishna is not only inside, outside as well, in the same way. So advanced state is like that. A more advanced state is that in everything what exists is Krishna. Krishna's presence in everything. That all the time they are experiencing this Krishna's presence in everything, and that has no vinasham. Avinasham. Vinasham means it has no destruction. Avinashita tadviddhi. It cannot die. And it has no birth, no death either. Which one? The soul. So, avinashitu tadviddi yena sarvam idam tadam. Krishna says, what is that is permeating the whole creation and which is present in everything? Know that it is that avinashi, that tattvam. Know that, he says. Vinasham avyasyasya. That it doesn't have any vinasham. It doesn't, that thing which is permeating everything, it doesn't have any vinasham. It doesn't get destroyed at any time. And you cannot destroy that. Vinasham avyasyasya. And nobody can destroy that, he says here. Isn't it? Vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhati. So, in this verse, avinashitu tadviddi ena sarvamidam tadam, vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhati. Krishna again told one more truth to Arjuna. Arjuna, that try to understand that is permeating in everything which gives this existence to other things. What you are seeing as matter today is that vinasham, avinashita tadvidhi. Know that it is avinashi. Avinashi means it has no death. It doesn't get destroyed. Vinasham avyasyasya. If we want to destroy that thing which gives existence to everything, it is not possible. Vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhati. If you try to destroy that, you won't be able to destroy. What is Krishna saying is that you are seeing Bhishma, Drona and everybody here. All these kings who are present there. You think that you can kill them. You cannot. What you can do is the asat part of their part you can destroy. The sat part, you can't touch it. Bhishma is not going to be killed. Drona is not going to be killed. What you are doing there, asat part, you can fight and destroy or change its form from one form to another form. That means the body will lose its particular form at the moment and will turn into panchabhudam, into five material elements. That's all what you can do. That doesn't mean that you have killed that the truth behind that person. What is that truth? Avinashitu tadviddhi. Yena sarvamidam tadam. Vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhati. So, when we are dealing with in the material life also, if this understanding is strong inside, then there is no need to get heavy with anybody. Isn't it? There is no need to get heavy with anyone. Sometimes when the anger builds up inside, we want to completely crush that other person, punch him down and kick him and destroy him and everything, isn't it? But if you remember avinashita tadviddhi, you can't kick that thing. That thing is above all these things. Yena sarvam idam tatam. And he is present in everything. Vinasham avyasyasya na kaschil kartum arhati. And this ignorance you can see in different things, in different ways. Sometimes you see in the television there is a kind of wrestling match, isn't it? Where the opponents are kicking and punching and taking him and putting, banging him on the floor and all kinds of, and he lifts his hand and shows that, you know, how strong I am. I don't know what it's called, some sport like that. Sometimes you see on the television these things. So, why, when they do that, you can see that ignorance coming out so strongly through them. Why? This Avinashi Tadviti is not there. What they have got is everything can be destroyed. I've destroyed him now. I killed him now. That understanding. Yeah? That is ignorance, isn't it? But Krishna is saying to Arjuna that don't keep that consciousness in you, Avinashi Tadviti. Nobody can touch that. Krishna's presence in everything is like that, isn't it? That we are always in ignorance acting all the time. It's ignorance that is guiding us. And when Krishna consciousness builds up inside, you will understand that there is nothing to be done in this world either. The world is Krishna's creation. Krishna is present in everything, and He created it, and He keeps it, and He runs it, and He will change it when He wants to change it as well. So, vinasham na kaschal kartum arhati. That if somebody thinks that he can destroy it and start doing something, what will happen? He cannot, because he is also, it is the same thing who is in him, who is trying to destroy it. Is it not? So the same soul, which is Avinashi, who has given existence to one object, is giving existence to somebody else who is trying to destroy this one. You know what I'm saying? Suppose I say that I want to destroy the whole thing, but who is present in me? It is him only. Who is present? This is what happened when Prahlada spoke to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlada, where do you get all this strength from? Yeah? Where do you get all this strength to talk nonsense like this to me? What did Prahlada say? The same person who is sitting in you and asking me the same this question is the same person who is answering back to you from me. There is no two Belam. Yeah? Belam me vaigunda. Krishna is only one Krishna. And that is one. And it's the same person who is acting from two different places, two different bodies. He is talking to each other. So when Hiranyakashipu unfortunately could not understand that, what Prahlada was saying, this is what... Prahlada was very clear because he is a realized soul. When he came out itself, he was realized. So he could not see the two things there. There was only one thing. What is that? Sat. Only for him, only Sat exists. Asat doesn't exist. Hiranyakashipu, Asat only exists. Sat doesn't exist. So these is the two forces. Sat and Asat is fighting there. That in Hiranyakashipu's mind, there is only Asat exist. Sat doesn't exist. That's why he was asking this question to Prahlada. Where, who is telling you, making you to talk? You are my son. Why are you talking like this? This is like a normal father, he's asking. My son shouldn't be talking like this. And he's my son. So why is he talking like this? This is the typical father's attitude. But the son has gone beyond all these things. Son is saying there is no father, no son. There is only one thing in this whole thing. That is Vaikuntham. That is Krishna. So when Prahlada asked this question, when Hiranyakashipu asked that question, the Bhagavatam, you will see this. This beautiful transaction happening between Prahlada and Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is pushing him very strongly. Tell me who is behind this. He's calling Shanda and Amarka and questioning them because he has no realization on this truth. Whereas Prahlada, when the moment he came out from the womb, he was a self-realized soul. He knew there is only that truth, one exists in there. That is Krishna. So he says to Hiranyakashipu, my dear father, try to understand that person who is giving me the strength from inside is the same person who is giving you from inside you also to come these questions to ask these questions from inside. So avinashidu tadviddi yena sarvamidam tadam. Nobody can touch that absolute nature of the truth, absolute nature of the soul. Nobody can touch that. That's what Krishna is explaining in that verse. Then so once we increase, keep thinking there are many, many objects, many, many different varieties of things, this ekabhavam will not happen. That Krishna's presence in that will not be noticed. we won't take notice of it. We will actually start noticing everything is different, and they are all different objects, and they have different different realities. That one who has understood this truth, that it's only Krishna's presence that is creating all these different forms and names in this world, then he will not, for he knows that nothing is happening here actually. Nothing is happening here. That one Mahatma used to say like this. What he used to say that? He says, some people went to visit him, and when they were leaving him, they said to him that we are taking leave of you. And they were feeling a little sadness to leave him and go, because they had some good association with that Mahatma. They were leaving him. So what did he say to him? He said, you are not leaving me. First of all, you have not come. And then there is a question of you are leaving. That's how he answered them. He says, only if you have come, you are leaving me. Because once you come to that platform of understanding, that the soul is present in everything, how can one soul leave the other soul and go away? It's connected together, isn't it? So, on a spiritual level, if you realize things, you will see nothing has come and nothing has gone. But in the early states, you will see all these differences. We say that, oh, he was here, now he has gone, I'm feeling very unhappy about it. Or if you develop this mood, then you won't feel any separation, nor you'll feel any rejoice when you meet somebody. Mind won't move. Sometimes when we see somebody, what do? We hug him and we give him all kinds of happiness we exhibit at that time. And some other time when he leaves, we feel very miserable, oh, he has gone, now I'm left alone. Krishna is saying there is no need to feel all these things, because this also affecting inside. It affects our inside, isn't it? Raga dvesham will, it's coming out like this only. Because there is ragam inside, ragam develops when you see someone who is very friendly to you. So you hug him and tell him how happy you are, pleased to meet you, and all these things we express at that time with that person. When he leaves, we feel, oh, he is gone, bye-bye, and we go that way. So this bye-bye and pleased to meet you in a jnani doesn't exist. In a jnani, all these things exist. A jnani has got all these things. Jnani doesn't have pleased to meet you or bye-bye, neither. He's always the same. His mind is stable. Because he is seeing the sat and asat in that way, that's only sat exists. So asat is only the creation of the mind. So he will not be moved by that. Otherwise you will have happiness when you see someone, and you will have distress when he leaves away. So to stay in one state, that is the tattva. That is the tattva. Not being disturbed by anything. There is no, it doesn't become happy or rejoiced, or it doesn't become depressed or disturbed over anything. One who knows these things, Krishna says, he will become avyayam. That in the bodily concept of life, in bodily level, now this is important point. In a bodily level, if you work in this world, you will get exhausted after some time, isn't it? Physical energy is only up to a certain level you can spend, because that is the way the physical body works. On a mental level also, it is the same thing. On a mental level also, you feel exhausted. You will one day feel weakened, and you will have to stop working mentally. I'm saying. So physical level, mental level, you will feel exhausted. On a spiritual level, who has understood this verse properly? All the Mahatmas are operating on this level. Avinashita Tadvidhi. Otherwise, they couldn't do what they have done. Look at Srila Prabhupada's case itself, in himself. At that age, he was operating so many things he was doing, but no movement inside, able to be peaceful with the situation. You could have done that in that age and in that state of health, with the physical body I'm saying, or the age of 75 and 80, one who has to travel all around and hear everybody's problems only. You're not getting anything, not a small amount of peace from anywhere. All who are coming, they've got problems. Who have come, they all had only problems to give, nothing else than that. And plus, he had to fight with the government, he had to fight with the police, he had to fight with the critics, he had to fight with everything. But how do they overcome this resistance? Avinashidu tadviddhi. That is the solution to the problem. Ena sarvamidam tadam. That if you see a conflict with another person externally, whether it is police, whether it is government, because in your mind, if you know very well that they are acting in ignorance, they have no realization of the truth, have they? They have come to you completely to establish what they think is the law of this world. Whereas one who has realized Krishna, one who is seeing Krishna's presence in everything, he won't be disturbed over it. Because you are taking instructions from the higher authority, not from the police and the government and the the authorities of this world. Isn't it? So a devotee's position, who has gone to a much higher platform, he thinks and acts on that level. And there he doesn't feel any weakness. Because why? He is connected to the center all the time. Energy is constantly flowing from there, from that higher authority, which is the reality. This is what I'm saying. That Avinashidu Tadvidhi is an important thing. That all spiritual personalities, all the great jnanis, mahatmas, and all who have done wonderful things in this world, how did they do this? You take, throughout history, you will see many, many great personalities done great wonders in this world. One individual who has done this. They created so much in order to spread this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and this basic understanding of life. They have gone beyond and take huge risks in their life. Risk in the sense, from our point of view, it is risk, isn't it? Who on earth wants to go to America at the age of 70 and fight with all the nonsense what's going on there? How could they do that? Avinashidu tadvidhi ena sarvamidam tadam. That there is no separate. Krishna is present there. Why should I be fearful? This is their approach in life. They don't get frightened over anything. Nothing frightens them. They don't deal with the police. They don't deal with the immigration and visa people. They don't deal with the government with the understanding, oh, this is America. This is, I am an Indian, so I need a visa passport. They'll follow the formalities and rules. And control is from the other side. Avinashidu tadvidhi ena sarvamidam tadam. That's where the control is coming from. So naturally, if you are fixed in that consciousness, then everything is carried out by that consciousness, not by our individual. In material life, what do? We manipulate things, we want to, because we have selfish interest in us, isn't it? We have selfish interest. So we look for the shortcuts, we bribe people, we find which way we can influence the particular situation. Or, I got contact here, I got contact there, they will help me when I am in trouble. All these foolish things is in our head. But for spiritually successful, or successful means mahatmas who have spoken the truth, they did not develop on their contacts. They did not develop. That all happens to them. It's arranged by Krishna's ways of doing different ways. It happens to them in a natural way. Why? The consciousness is fixed on Avinashidu tadvidhi, yena sarvamidam tatam. That in everything, it's only Krishna who is present. And if Krishna is acting, he is using me as a tool, he is using somebody else as a tool. That way they have reconciled with that truth properly. They're not thinking, I'm doing this, and I need the help of so many people. For the material world, for the formalities of this world, they may appear as though they are doing things like an ordinary people. They may appear like that. But in fact, in reality, they don't act in the same platform as we do. They don't. They act completely on a spiritual platform, which is Avinashidu tadvidhi. So once this verse is understood properly, our activities in spiritual life, our activities in this world also, if it is tuned in that way, then there is nothing to be lament about. Nothing to feel depressed about anything. Avinashita tadviddhi yena sarvam idam tadam. There is only Krishna who is present in everything. If a favorable situation comes in life, that is also Krishna's arrangement. There is nothing to rejoice about that or feel elated about it. If unfavorable situation comes, also there is no need to feel depressed about it. Yena sarvam idam tadam. It is that person who is present in everything. He is. It is his decision that it should be like that. And the great jnanis have recognized one thing. If you are completely anchored onto that truth, everything what you do will come out properly. It's only when we break away from the truth and do things independently, sometimes it succeeds, sometimes it fails. This is another thing they have discovered. Their realization is like this. To the extent what something has to succeed or fail in this world is decided by Avinashita Tadviddhi, not by us. So because they are conscious of this fact all the time, yena sarvam idam tatam, that he is present in everything. So where is the question of something failing or succeeding unless it is approved by him? That consciousness, supreme consciousness, Krishna, is present in everyone. So devotees see it as Krishna, the jnani see it as Brahman. That's the only difference. The interaction is all the same. It's not different at all. So Avinashita Tadviddhi yena sarvam idam tatam, he says here. So when we are anchored to the soul, this Avinashita Tadviddhi, then you don't feel exhausted. In physical plane, you feel exhausted. In mental plane, you feel exhausted after a while. But on a spiritual plane, you never get exhausted. Spiritual plane is endless. Energy continuously flowing from that source. If you are spiritually connected with him, with the Supreme Truth, with Krishna. Because we have no spiritual connection, 16 rounds becomes a big burden for us. That's why it is. Because otherwise, if you look into personalities like Gaur Kishore and others, how they chanted 192 rounds and still not satisfied, want to chant more. Why? That spiritual energy is constantly flowing. Haridas Thakur and others, yeah? The constant flow of spiritual energy will not create any stress inside, nor you will feel exhausted. Whereas if you put a lot of force and completely depend on your ability and your strength, and you chant, by 16 rounds you are tired. So this is where what we have to understand in spiritual life. Spiritual life is not something your ability that matters. Ability has no role there very much. Ability is very limited. Your ability is very limited. The important thing is that if Krishna consciousness is strong properly, this is why we have to understand tattvam. If we don't understand tattvam, on what will we do? In ignorance we will act, isn't it? When you act in ignorance, the result will also be same. The result will also come in the same way. But those who have realized the truth, Krishna says, their energy is boundless, unlimited. You will have unlimited energy. But so therefore, under no circumstances, you should become a fanatic about anything. Fanaticism doesn't help. Fanaticism is coming from ignorance. If you understand things as they are, and spiritually, if you have that proper connection with Krishna, you will get sufficient strength from Krishna for what you want to do, or what you want to serve Krishna, in whichever form you want to do it, you will get that flow coming from Krishna. Advanced souls vouch for that. They feel that that's the only way you can develop spiritually. The spiritual strength has to come. That's what we say, spiritual strength, isn't it? And spiritual strength is not material strength. Then what is spiritual strength? We'll ask that question. Isn't it? We all talk like this. Oh, we say, Balram gives spiritual strength, so I'll go to Balram. No. And we go and tell Balram, Balram, give me some spiritual strength. Nothing happens. Then we say, well, I asked Balram, he didn't give it to me, so I'm only chanting 16 now. I can't chant anything more than that. No, this is not the way to understand this. To understand this is that if we see this tattvam, properly understand this, what Krishna has explained in the Bhagavad Gita, that Avinashita Tadviddhi yena sarvam idam tatam, that thing which is permeating everything in this creation is indestructible. It cannot be destroyed. And that is the real energy source. If you take shelter of your body, mind, which is asat, which is destructible, you will not be able to make it. You will not get the spiritual strength. You will get the spiritual strength when you take shelter of the spiritual source, energy source, which is avinashiti tadviddhi yena sarvamidam tatam. Vinasham avyasyasya na kaschal kartum arhati. Arjuna, that energy which flows from that source is something which you cannot block. It will flow continuously when it starts flowing. So devotees, jnanis, all the great souls, they have understood this principle. That is why you see, sometimes in ashrams, many ashrams like this, many people who have advanced on the spiritual life, you will be amazed by their energy. You start thinking, where do they get all this energy from? We are finished at 40 and 50. We are finished, we have no strength. Then to get up in the morning, we are struggling. But they are already there up by 3 o'clock and ready to chant, finish their bath and perform their morning duties, and they are engaged in spiritual activity without any difficulty. And whole day they are busy with some spiritual activity or the other, and the evening they go to sleep with full satisfaction inside. Why? Constantly dependent on the spiritual energy. Krishna's spiritual energy. Spiritual energy has got that special potency that it will not make you tired. Material energy, if you take shelter, you will feel tired after a while. When we dependent on the body and bodily strength and mental strength, this is called Paurusham, isn't it? Paurusha strength, Paurusham it's called, ability in a person. Through that, if you try to do things, sometime you will feel exhausted and you will have to lose that strength. So therefore, Tattvam is important. I was coming back to that. When we study Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam and all that, what is the underlying principle, what Krishna wants to convey to us, is the knowledge of the soul and the activities of the soul. If that is properly, that is what Krishna is talking about, Tattvam, isn't it? Tattvam is that. And the Tattvam is understood properly, how the soul operates, soul activates everything else. If that understanding is clear, then we are growing spiritually. Spiritual understanding will come strongly. So, even through yoga practices, what you acquire, what is known as Brahmavarchasa. Brahmavarchasa they call it. Through yoga practices, if you develop some spiritual strength, that is Brahmavarchasa. Even Brahmavarchasa also gets exhausted after some time. Like Siddhis and all that. They all belong to that category. Even they can get finished one day. But one whose consciousness is fixed on his true identity as the soul, he never gets exhausted, because for them they are not, there is no change happening. All the time it is fixed on the truth. They are complete, and all the time in that complete state they are operating. All the time they are seeing the truth, in other words. Avaya, that's what he said in the last, Krishna says in the last two lines, isn't it? Na kaschil kartum arhati. It has no birth, it has no death, and it never gets destroyed. Which one? That truth behind, avyasyasya, avyam, it has no destruction under any circumstances. So long as we are conscious of that truth, Krishna says here, na kaschal kartum arhati. Nobody can destroy it, it never gets destroyed under any circumstances. When Lord Buddha went to the went for meditation for a long period of time, he went to the Bodhi Vriksha and he was meditating there. When he came back, his wife Yashodhara, she asked Buddha the same question. Then Yashodhara asked, what changes happened to you after your meditation for such a long time? So Buddha answered, I went there to find out what change will happen. And I have understood now that nothing changes. Nothing has changed. I have found out that there is nothing to change. Because Buddha's realization was such that he started realizing that the soul is unaffected by any of these things. The change is for the matter. Change is for the asat. So once a realization happens in connection with the soul, Buddha says to Yashodhara, to his wife, that to find out this, that no change happens, I've spent so much time to find out this one point. Because Yashodhara asked Buddha, what changes happened to you? What did you find out? What has changed you now? He says, I've gone there to find out that nothing changes. That the truth, in other words, the realization of the truth is like that. I thought that some changes will happen, but I realized that there is nothing going to happen. No change is going to happen. Why? In your identity, in Swarupam, the soul, there is no change happening. Change is happening only to the asat, to the body, mind and the intelligence. There is nothing to happen with the soul. So, we understand that all these things are not us. Isn't it? What? The body is not us, the mind is not us, the intelligence is not us. That is belongs to prakriti, material nature. And I went there, Buddha says, to know this, that there is nothing to be added on, nothing to be subtracted from that, he says. That is the paramarthic state. Paramarthi means absolute state. Satyasakshatkaram. Satyasakshatkaram means realization. When one realizes the truth, he understands that the truth is the soul and the body is only a temporary thing and it is not to be taken as a permanent thing. It is not to be accepted as a permanent thing. Then, after saying this, now Krishna spoke from an absolute platform, everything. Now he is coming to the into the world of transactions, vyavahariyam. Vyavahara means that paramarthikam and vyavahariyam, two things. Paramarthikam means on an absolute level, what is the truth? Vyavahariyam means in our daily life, how we transact business, isn't it? That is the next verse. If you look into verse 18, you will see there, on vyavahara level, how you do the business. That is what Krishna is explaining there. So, text 18. Please repeat. Antavantamime deha Nityasyokta sharirina Anashino aprameyasya Tasmal yudhyasya bharada. Once again. Antavantamime deha Nityasyokta sharirina Anashino aprameyasya Tasmal yudhyasya bharata. Translation. Only the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entity is subject to destruction. Therefore fight, O descendant of Bharata. Krishna says, only the material body of the indestructible, immeasurable and eternal living entities, all these things. What is that? Indestructible, immeasurable and eternal. This is our true identity, true nature, isn't it? And material body, the material body of this eternal, immeasurable, indestructible living entity is subject to destruction. So this is the vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means that earlier Krishna talked about on an absolute level. That because of that thing behind, which is indestructible, which cannot be touched by anyone, all these things are existing. Now Krishna comes to the vyavaharam level, our dealings in this world, and he's saying to Arjuna, what will happen now is that if you fight, you cannot touch that aspect of the truth. You cannot touch that. He says here, andavandam ime deha. Andavandam ime deha. Deha means the body. That is God andyam. Andam. Andam means end. It gets destroyed. Nityasyokta sharirina. But the shariri inside, the soul, is nityam. He is eternal. He has no destruction. He lives forever. He cannot be touched. Anashino aprameyasya. He is never to be destroyed. He will never to be destroyed. Aprameyasya. And you can't even measure him, what he is. From now on, when you read through the next many, many verses, Krishna is always talking about the soul, purely on the soul. And every time Krishna will tell us also that this thing called is very difficult to understand, this thing called the soul. So, having spoken, but because we can't understand the soul, easily comprehend that within our mind, and we don't, Krishna doesn't want us to misunderstand it. What Krishna does is, he keeps on saying different things, and tell us the nature of the soul within all these things, how the soul operates within. Now he taken the body, material body. He says, antamandam ime deha. Body has got antam. There is no question about that. He says, I accept that. But nityasyokta sharirina. Shariri inside is nityam, is eternal. And anashino aprameyasya. He has no destruction. Not only that he is eternal, anashinam. If you want to even destroy him, you can't destroy him. Aprameyasya. Aprameya means, what it says here, the word immeasurable. Aprameyam is immeasurable. You can't even measure the soul. If you ask how much, what's the size of the soul, there's no answer to that. What's the size of the soul? And where is he located? No answer to that. Clearly. He is present everywhere. When he is present inside the body, he is present throughout the body in the form of consciousness. Isn't it? So where will you say he is in? Where can you locate him? He is present in everything. Anashino aprameyasya. He says, tasmad yudhyasya bharata. Knowing very well, Krishna uses this word I mentioned to you before, tasmad. He's very fond of this word, tasmad, Krishna. Every now and then, he'll bring tasmad. He says, therefore. He says to Arjuna, all the time. And to Uddhava also, tasmad. So, it's one of Krishna's favorite words in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, this tasmad. So, here he starts, the first tasmad here has come. Now, you will see many tasmad coming after this. That is, Krishna is a very... fond of this word, it looks like that, this word tasmad. So, he says here, that antamandam ime deha nityasyokta sharirina anashino aprameyasya tasmal yudhyasya bharada. Therefore, yudhyasya bharada. Get up and fight, he says. So, you must know that Krishna is not asking you to fight, asking Arjuna. If Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, he could have got it done without saying all these things. There was no problem in getting Arjuna to fight. To fire up Arjuna was not very difficult for Krishna to do that. But instead of doing that, Krishna took this option of first explaining things as they are and then leaving the choice to Arjuna to fight rather than forcing Arjuna. At one point, you will see later on, in different levels, Krishna is telling him the logic and the reason to fight the war. In different levels. First, he started from the absolute level, why he should fight. Now he is coming to the bodily level to tell him why he should fight. Later on he will say to Arjuna, what if you don't fight, what will happen to you? That means how the public will see you as a coward who ran away from the battlefield, and in the newspaper your name will be published, Arjuna ran away from the battlefield. All these kind of things Krishna says to Arjuna at that point. So in different levels Krishna is speaking to Arjuna to tasmad, fight. Therefore you fight, Arjuna. So that comes much later. That has to be, that was done only to mention it to Arjuna. If you have understood this, what I have said before, you should have already, it should be clear in your head. These things what I am saying now, asking you to fight, is another thing. That has nothing to do with the truth. That is, even if you, Krishna will say like this, forget about all what I have told you till now. But even if you look at from your material point of view, even then you should have to fight. Then he says to Arjuna, Arjuna, if you tell me after hearing all this, you will not fight. No, you will still fight because you are a Kshatriya, the vasanas inside there. So, Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna, under no circumstances you can escape from this. He wants to make that point very clear to Arjuna. So, either your vasanas will push you to fight, or your bad name, you will be, because Arjuna had a good name. Arjuna's name is not like our name. Our name, we don't care. Everybody will talk all nonsense about us. We will keep our head down and walk away from there. Arjuna never kept his head down. Arjuna kept his head high always. We acted with aspavirusham, ability, and great strength and great ability, a person with great ability. So Arjuna was not like that. A bad name for Arjuna is a big thing. He won't tolerate that. He will sort that out, like he did in the case of the Brahmana's children. You remember? That when the Brahmana first came and abused Krishna and Balram. If you remember the story in Dwaraka, what happened? Came and abused Krishna and Balram. And he said that they are all napumsakas. They are not kshatriyas here. He said, they are neither men nor women. He says, and this is the country where I am living. The Brahmana is saying this to Krishna and Balaram. Arjuna got up immediately. Arjuna was sitting there with Krishna in the living room or reception room, wherever that was they were sitting, when the Brahmana came. First child died, second child died, ninth one gone. And then is that when he came and complained about this. So Krishna never took any interest in that the song, the Brahmana. They say, Parishad Sukadeva Goswami says, it has become a song actually. Because when does it become a song? When you start repeating same thing, eventually it becomes musical, isn't it? So this is what has happened with this Brahmana. Brahmana, first time when he came, he complained and then nobody took notice of it. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time. So ninth time it happens, Brahmana's song, Krishna says to Arjuna, that Brahmana is coming with this music, he says. So Arjuna was sitting there and Brahmana came and complained about this, and this time a bit stronger words he has used. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see that. So Arjuna's kshatriya's nature in him would not allow him to sit quietly. He got up from the chair and he says to Brahmana, come out Brahmana, tell me what's going on. So Brahmana says to him that I'm living in a country where there is no kshatriyas, there is no kings here. It's absolutely useless, this place. And all again. Arjuna says to Brahmana that, do you know whom you're talking to? He says, I'm not Krishna and Balaram, he says. Arjuna is saying this. I'm not Krishna, I'm not Balaram, I'm Arjuna, he says. Eh? And you should look at the verses in the Bhagavatam, you will see, I'm Arjuna, you know who I am, he says. I fought with Shiva and got that Pashupadam from him. So remember whom you're talking to, he says, Arjuna, right? So Arjuna's ability, he has complete faith in his ability. Anything he wants to get done, he will get it done. It's that kind of personality Arjuna is. Arjuna is not fearful of anyone in this world. That is his nature, by nature. The Kshatriya strong, the strong Kshatriya consciousness is inside him. So this Arjuna told this to Brahmana. And he told Brahmana that, Aham vai Arjuna nama, my name is Arjuna, he says. The word that ego is coming through that very, very strongly. You can see that in the verse. Aham vai Arjuna nama. Have you not heard about man called Arjuna, he says. You know, have you not heard about him? Yeah. Then he says, Krishna and Balaram, I don't know whether you may have heard about them, but for me, this Arjuna nama is very important, he says. So he impressed Brahmana very well that way. Brahmana says, all right, give him a chance now. Give him a chance to so many other people. Let me give the chance to him. So it was then that Arjuna said that, if I don't protect your child, I'll give up my body in the fire. I'll give up my body in the fire. And exactly like the way it happened, that this time what happened was, earlier when the child died, at least they could see the body. But this time, even the body was not there. Arjuna created Sharavanjaram, that means this shelter with the arrows, everything, and told Brahmana, don't worry, I'm standing outside, and once the mother goes into labor, let me know, and I'll make sure that this doesn't happen again. So Brahmana listened to Arjuna, and Arjuna was told everything, but Brahmana, when the delivery happened, they couldn't even see the baby. Baby was gone. So it was then that Arjuna goes to all the planets, to heavenly planets, to lower planetary systems, everywhere looking for this child, looking for this baby, where has it gone? And then he was thinking of going to Kailasam to ask Lord Shiva if the child has come there, to that planet. So everywhere Arjuna has searched and he didn't go there. It was then that he decided to jump into fire because he couldn't keep up his word. Look at that Kshatriya's mood. I couldn't do it, so I promised him that I'll give up this body, and so he decided to jump into fire. So it was then that just Brahmana came and started ridiculing him. All that big words you have spoken to me before, where has it all gone? He says to, and or did you get frightened when you saw the fire? This is how he asked Arjuna, did you get frightened when you saw the fire to jump into it? In other words, that Kshatriya's blood was boiling inside and he was teasing Arjuna. This Brahmana was teasing him. So Arjuna is burning inside and he decided to jump into the fire. That's when Krishna comes and rescues him and then speaks to Arjuna. That's all there in the 10th canon. We'll go into that direction too much because it takes a lot of time. So, what we are saying is that Aham vai Arjuna nama, in that situation that Krishna has been Krishna has feel that Krishna has sheltered Arjuna in that way, in that difficult situation also. Krishna, because he is a devotee, a shelter that Krishna for him, amani manado manyaha, that a devotee's word, Krishna wants to make it true. Krishna will make sure it comes true. Same thing Krishna did with Bhishma also, isn't it? For him, all these Kshatriyas, they give a lot of value to their words. Yeah, people were like that at that time. If you could not keep up your word, they used to consider that it is a big fall on your part, that you could not honor your word. Nowadays, you can say anything and sorry about that. Next word. Followed by a sorry about that, everything is over. Then you do what you can like. Everything you can. Whatever you want, you do, then sorry about that. That is, that goes along with. That is not Kshatriya's nature. Kshatriyas say something, they know that they can honor it. If they can't honor it, they will regret very strongly about that. That is the high culture in them, that they were like that. What they say, that they will honor it. And it is much easier to deal with people when they are like that, isn't it? Rather than if you get people all the time who makes excuses in one way or the other. So here, Andavanda ime deha nitya sokta sharirina, Krishna is coming down to a level of the body now. So far he spoke from the absolute level, the truth, absolute truth, from that platform. Now Krishna says, Andavandam ime deha, Arjuna, you are now lamenting about all these things. The only thing to be lamented about is this body. That has got an end. That is definitely has got an end. But nityasyokta sharirina, the shariri or the soul inside, the person, he is nityam, he is eternal. Bhishma is going to die because you are going to shoot an arrow at him. He is not going to die. Drona is not going to die either. They are all eternal souls. And they know that very well. That's why they get the courage to fight the war. Kshatriyas don't fight the war because there is this emotion inside. But they also have a lot of realizations inside. That out of the four varnam, Brahmanam, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, these two, Brahmam and Kshatram, are very powerful. Brahmam and Kshatram are very powerful. One, Brahmam, because of their vairagyam, renunciation and truthfulness and knowledge, they, with the help of Kshatram, they execute their this truthfulness in this world. They complement each other. In other words, Brahmam and Kshatram, they complement each other. You can see in the history also, when Brahmam and Kshatram were powerful, both of them followed there rigidly, the society was a lot more peaceful. There was no any anxiety in people's life. And because both of them, by their nature, one predominant by Sattugunam, the other one predominant by Rajogunam inside. Because if everybody becomes a Brahmana, it's a problem in this world, isn't it? Suppose everybody is a Brahmana, then there will be some element who will do some nonsense. So there should be someone to keep them under control. So Kshatram is necessary. Kshatram is not something to be rejected, isn't it? So practically Brahmam and Kshatram are the two important elements in Varnam, in the four Varnas. So you will notice there that when Krishna spoke about Karma Yogam, he brought always Kshatriyas into it as examples, not Brahmanas. Imam vaivasvade yogam proktavanaham abhyayam vaivasvan manuve praha manu ikshagove bravid. They are all Kshatriyas in that tradition. Vaivasvada manu, Svayambhuva manu, Ikshvaku, they are all kings whom Krishna quotes. Throughout 9th canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find the examples, all of them as kings are given. Rajarshis they were. Rajarshis. But they were not kings like in the modern days. They were kings who completely, fully complied with the Vedic injunctions and who accepted the truthful Brahmanas as authority. They will not deviate from that. So, andavandam ime deha nityasyokta sharirina and tasman idyasya bharata. That both these things are opposite, isn't it? Avinashita tadvidi. Avinasha means one, it has no destruction. Andavanda means which gets destroyed. In the last words, Krishna said, avinashita tadvidi. The soul is avinashi. The shariram, material body, is andavandam. It has got destruction. So they are opposite. Andavanda vimedeha nitya syokta sharirina, isn't it? So idam idam means, when we refer to idam, idam means from the sushma shariram, or from the sushupti state right up to the gross body. This is all idam. And ishavasam idam sarvam, that ishavasam, it all belongs to Krishna. Idam avyaktal deha paryantam idam analma. It says in the commentaries like this. Idam is avyaktal deha paryantam idam analma. That means, deha paryantam means when the body is destroyed, idam analma. That is analma. Analma is the not the soul, but the rest. So what gets destroyed is analma. Atma remains. From the deep darkness, what you experience in the sushupti state, right up to this dead matter, everything is idam. This is all seen by us, isn't it? In even that darkness in sushupti, we see that. We see the darkness in the sushupti, isn't it? For example, how does avidya we perceive? We perceive avidya. Avidya is darkness. That means when you go into deep sleep state, you experience that you have got some energy back, what you didn't have. Because sushupti brings the energy back, isn't it? How do you get the energy back? Because in sushupti, you had the contact of with the super soul. Super soul has embraced you and given you some more energy to go for the next day. Every day Krishna is showing this to us, that he gives us energy and sends us back to go and do all the nonsense what we are doing. And in the night we go back fully tired and say to Krishna, I need some help. Krishna gives you more energy to go and do the next nonsense next day. So day after day, Krishna is giving us sufficient energy to continue in this life. And when he withdraws from us, everything is over. When he pulls back from our existence, our identity is finished. We have no more material body. Material body cannot function. Mind cannot function. Intelligence cannot function. So, andamandam ime deha. This deham which has got an end, it's only there because nityasyokta sharirina. He is there. Therefore, this material body. So, who is more important? Krishna is asking Arjuna. When you have andamandam ime deha, when something which is going to be destroyed anyway, behind him who is giving that strength, even for that thing what has got andamanda, which has got andam, which has got an end, is that nityasyokta sharirina, that eternal, unchanging, powerful source of energy, the soul inside. Because he is there, this temporary material body is even functioning. That's the point Krishna is making. Yeah, andavinda meha nityasyota sharirina. Then, so sushma shariram, or this subtle body, the karana shariram, the causal body, that will all come to an end at the end. When one gets liberated, when one is released from the, or liberation happens, he gets he gets completely released from that. Sula Shariram is constantly dying, isn't it? Sula Shariram is constantly dying. Again, our misunderstanding of the Sula Shariram, we say, oh, we have taken birth, I'm growing. But actually, it's a continuous process of death from birth. Time advances, you are dying, constantly dying. The body is Sula Shariram by nature, death is its nature. So that is why this word Martya came to him. You know, there's one word called Martya for the our material body. Martya means one which is dying all the time. One which is experiencing death all the time. That's called Martya. So, Martya, Manishya Shariram, a human body, is constantly dying. In other words, he is indicating to Arjuna, whether you kill that body or not, it will die one day. Why you give importance to that? Andavanda mime deha. It has got an end. It's not going to stay like this forever. Whether you kill or you don't kill, what does it matter? It's going to die. But the other thing, which you think if you can kill, you can't kill. So Krishna is stressing this point. Andavanda mime deha. Deham, whether you kill or not, it will die. And you are giving so much importance to that, that I killed Bhishma, I killed Drona, or I'll kill this, I'll kill that. That's not a very intelligent understanding. Nityasyokta sharirina. Shariram will die, but sharirina, the shariri, will not die. He will not be able to touch him. He is beyond your control. And that body is dying in any way, through boyhood, youthhood, old age, like that it is constantly dying through. Why give importance to that? That's the point. We'll go through it again on Monday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.